and welcome to another episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is John Jantz, and my guest today is John Pollock. He is the CEO of Financial Gravities Holding and president of Pollock Advisory Group, a registered investment advisory firm. And you may be thinking, wait a minute, we're going to be talking about accounting and finance and taxes and stuff. John doesn't ever talk about that. But today we are going to talk about taxes. So, John, welcome. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So, here's the thing. You know, I spend a terrific amount of time at least attempting to show people how to make more money with their marketing. And so today I want to talk about how they can keep more of that money.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that if you can keep more money, then you can pour it into marketing and make more money.
Absolutely. Pay Duct Tape Marketing more to help you, you know, grow your business more. So
that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. So what are some of the really typical ways that you see small businesses being overtaxed, other than the fact that a lot of the tax code's not fair to small business?
Well, the tax code is not unfair to small business. It's just exceptionally complex, and so no one really taps into it. I mean, there's 70,000 pages. Who's going to read that? It's not a breezy read. So they just miss out on a lot of the opportunities. The single biggest one, and I'm betting most of your listeners have this problem, is being a sole proprietor.
Yeah.
It's the most audited entity. It's the most used entity. And it's the most taxed entity. So you need to get off of that as soon as you can.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, let's jump into kind of some of the basics of, because what we're talking about is not necessarily doing your taxes or submitting your tax returns. We're talking about tax planning. So, you know, what are some of the basics then of good, sound tax planning? And actually, I'll cut you off before you jump into that, because I want to do a little soapbox here. You know, a lot of times people they get the idea that they need to do business planning and marketing planning and strategic planning. And this whole idea of expense planning or tax planning seems like a foreign concept that they just have to abdicate to somebody else. And so I'd love for you to talk about this idea of tax planning actually being a fundamental, you know, foundational element of growing a business.
It is, because it's money you've already made. I mean, all these other strategies are projecting out, how do I make more? This is, I've made the money and I'm going to cut a check for $20,000 to the government. And we're saying, don't cut a $20,000, cut a $10,000. Now, you can't just choose not to do that. You actually have to have a plan. Otherwise, you'll get in hot water.
And
so
we'll
you have to figure out ways. Yeah, so you've heard the saying, it's not how much you make, it's how much you keep.
Right.
The way we rephrase that is, it's how you make what you make determines how you keep it. And that's where tax planning comes in, is the how you make it.
Well, and one of the basics you already talked about was, you know, choosing the right entity wisely. What are some of the other kind of basic things where people are throwing money away?
Retirement planning is one of them. The way they – who they pay and how they pay them. The entity is the biggest, because a lot of people will end up paying regular income tax rates instead of capital gains or dividend rates. Dividend rates and capital gains rates are always lower regardless of the tax bracket you're in. So you really want to shift to that. And there's basically four strategies: shifting, timing, code, and product. And so we try to look for strategies that fit within those four primary drivers. So shifting from a sole proprietor to, say, an S-corp will save you taxes, because you can pay yourself in two different ways. In fact, we kind of joke with business owners, they kind of need to be a little split personality, because part of their personality needs to be, you're an employee in the business,
right,
and part of the personality needs to be, I'm a business owner that needs to earn a profit on the business. Profits are taxed differently than employment income, so you want to be able to pay as little employment income and generate as much profitable income as possible legally.
Right. So you said, so shifting, give us an example of timing then.
So timing would be, so like IRAs are timing. Now, I don't know if you remember the fiscal cliff debate in a few years ago. That was a timing. A lot of people were saying, I got to do stuff this year because January 1, it's going to be, you know, all hell's going to break loose. But with retirement planning, your 401k, your IRA for individuals is a way to time a different time to get it in. Another one of these popular strategies that, you know, your clients may have heard of is paying your mortgage interest in twice in 1 year, because then it shows up on the Schedule A. So that would be another example of, well, instead of paying in January each year and then getting one deduction for my mortgage interest or my taxes on my mortgage, I can double up and get a bigger number and then get more deductions.
Coat, and stick with me if, you know, if you're starting to glaze over here and think, oh gosh, this is boring accounting stuff, stick with me because we're going to talk about a couple things that are perfectly legal that John's company does that that just take advantage of the laws that were written for you that can be a great way to save some taxes. But let's talk about, so let's jump into your third element, code.
Yeah, code. So this was a great one because I'm going to give you something that's going to go, you have got to be kidding me. So you can rent your house. You should be sitting down for this because this is going to shock you. You can rent your house to yourself 14 days a year tax-free. So how this came about is fascinating. It was actually a football. A guy that lived in Green Bay, a senator, wrote this into the law because he wanted to rent his house to himself for, you know, I'm going to invite John over to my house for a football game because I live close to the stadium, and I'm going to buy a bunch of stuff, and I'm going to rent it to myself, and I want to pay no taxes on that. So I'm going to write it into the law. It's now become the Augusta rule. They call it the Augusta rule because a lot of people that live on the golf course in Augusta will rent their house for 2 weeks, and that's tax-free. Now that Airbnb is becoming as big as it is, a lot of people are renting rooms in their house. Well, you can do that 14 days a year, tax-free. And what's funny about this law, there's actually a line on one of the forms that says 14-day rental. And there's many accountants that don't even know it's there. So that is one of my favorite parts of pure code. The boring part of pure code would be like a Roth IRA. You know, I earn the money, I pay taxes on it, I roll it over into, I put it into a Roth IRA, grows tax-free and comes out tax-free. But that's a pure code strategy. Right. But the 14-day rental rule is our favorite. The second favorite one is you can write off your swimming pool. That one's an also fun one. It actually falls underneath the code that has to do with on-site health clubs. So if I owned a health club, I legally can build a swimming pool and write off all the stuff for the swimming pool, the chlorine and the guy that comes out and cleans it. Well, if I have office out of my house, the code allows for me to have an on-site health club that I can write off the maintenance of. So I can write off the maintenance of my swimming pool. And by the way, this has been audit tested multiple times and it's cleared every time.
Well, and that's, you know, I'm guessing some people are already starting to say, wait a minute, my CPA would have a cow if I suggested this. And really, and you and I have talked about this, you know, off air, you know, why aren't the typical CPAs, and I hope mine's not listening because I'm, you know, I'm going to say that, you know, they're rarely talking to me about, I mean, they're basically saying, do you have the receipts? Sign here, you know, and my return's done. And there's no even thought. Now I could be maybe proactive and push them a little bit, but there's no real thought about even having a discussion about, well, here are the ways we can minimize your taxes. And it seems to me like most people believe that that's a role that their CPA is playing for them.
It's not, and this is a really strange marketing problem for me as a marketer of a you know, proactive tax planning business. How do you market a service to somebody when somebody thinks an entire industry does that service and they don't? I mean, that is a marketing problem for the ages. CPAs, first of all, the P in CPA stands for public. So public accounting was generally for publicly traded companies. So imagine you're an association selling public accounting designation, a certification, and then all of a sudden you've trained everybody that's already working public accounting. You're not going to stop selling your certification. You're going to keep selling it. And that's what's happened is the CPA designation has bled into doing basically bookkeeping for small businesses like your business and my business. And they just aren't trained on tax planning. In fact, we keep in our office a copy of the CPA outline, the manual of what they have to study. So these are objectively very, very smart people because I would never pass a CPA exam. But they're not trained. They're trained on depreciating assets and, you know, how to handle inventory and gap counting and accrual versus cash, all this really boring stuff that, you know, sounds like insects. And it has nothing to do with, you know, I own three Subways. How do I handle my employees? It just doesn't have anything to do with the real world. And just because they touch the tax return doesn't really mean they know anything about it. And a lot of it, which actually leads us to our fourth strategy, which is product, a lot of the really cool tax strategies require a good understanding of some of the financial services products, and they're not trained at all on that because you need either an insurance license or a securities license. So it's just not what they're trained on, but everybody thinks since they touch the tax return, they're experts, and they literally don't. They don't know what to do.
Well, and it's interesting because, you know, the kind of the entrepreneurial kind of buzzword is this, you know, for startups particularly, is this idea of growth hacking, and maybe that's – we need a whole industry of tax hacking.
Yes, and that's really what we're doing. Is, I mean, there's 70,000 pages of code. I say all the time, there's got to be something in there for you. The number one question I get asked is, are you worried about the flat tax? And I always kind of roll my eyes and say, the flat tax is just as likely as a good cheesecake that's fat-free. It's not going to happen. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you go on. They like to pull the levers that allow them to control whatever they want to control. And, you know, Democrats and Republicans are never going to come together and say, let's have no levers. So we're going to have a complicated tax code forever. Yeah. And they never seem to change what's already existing. They just add another, 10,000 pages. So I think it's going to stay complicated. So hack the tax code.
So you have you actually have a pretty bold offer, something you call a tax blueprint, I think you call it, and mm-hmm. and in your experience, you're able to make that kind of we save you X or you don't pay kind of offer because you feel that confident that there's money being wasted.
Yeah, and this is actually there's a good marketing lesson in this, and we've talked a little bit about this. This is fascinating. We save on average 4 to 5 times what people pay us. We charge anywhere from $2,000 to $10,000. So if someone pays us $10,000, we're going to find $40,000 to $50,000 in tax savings. So as a marketer, I didn't feel like we should come out saying 5 times tax savings or 4 times tax savings. So what we did is we did a marketing campaign for about 60 days with a 300% tax savings. You pay $1,000, you get $3. You pay $10, you get $30. We had no sales. It wasn't until we shifted to a 2 times tax savings that our sales went through the roof. So that's an interesting marketing lesson that we didn't change the plan, but people didn't believe the three. It was apparently too good to be true. We don't know. I mean, we don't know because we didn't get any clients to ask, but we literally changed that one piece of the messaging. I guess this is the importance of split testing. We changed that one piece of the messaging and it completely changed our business. So that's a very, sometimes you're offer can be too good.
Yeah. So state your offer. I'm not often quite this direct with the audience, but I really believe what you're doing is something that a lot of people need to be aware of. And by the way, John and his company are a client of mine. I'm helping with their marketing, but I'm just so taken by what they're doing. I want to expose people to it. So pretend you're talking to a potential client. You know, how would you pitch what you do?
Well, I always use a cocktail party pitch. I say, if I'm at a cocktail party and someone asks me what I do, I say, I help small business owners lower their personal income taxes. Right. And then I get a question that automatically leaps to people's forefront when they hear that, which is, are you a CPA?
Right.
To which I respond, when was the last time your CPA saved you at least $1,000 in taxes? Never. Well, then you probably should fire your CPA because $1,000 for us is very, very easy. We can look on your Schedule A. If you're a small business owner, the tax code was actually made for you. There's lots of cool things in there. I mean, you can write off even with Obamacare and the proliferation of this new ACA Act, which is this whole new healthcare. You can write off crutches. You can write off a massage. If you're stressed, you can write your massages off as a tax-free benefit in your company. That's in the tax code if you're a small business owner. So don't throw up your hands and say, well, I'm a small business owner. The government's coming after me. The government actually has written a lot of cool things in there. You just have to tap into it. I love that tax hack. I'm going to take that.
Well, and what's interesting is, when I say it's unfair, it's only unfair in the sense that a lot of larger organizations have tax strategists. You know, their chief tax officer is making sure that they're taking advantage of some of these things. And obviously, a lot of small business owners, you know, don't have that luxury. And so I think the ability to come to somebody like you and say, okay, you know, do a blueprint for me, you know, I don't pay unless I save, you know, is a pretty compelling offer. What do you say when you start talking about some of these things that, you know, they're in the code, you know, but still there's this whole idea, there's this fear of, you know, if I expense my swimming pool, I'm automatically going to get audited.
Yeah, and we hear that quite a bit, and this is something that the CPA would say, which I don't get from the CPA. The CPA basically bills per hour and per form. So an audit actually is more profitable for them, whereas we bill monthly regardless of whether you get audited or not. So we actually have an incentive not to get you audited, because if you get audited, that's a lot of time and energy for us. But the reality is the audit risk goes down, because since we're employing tax strategies, we're driving down your income. And keep in mind, a sole proprietor is 5 times more likely to be audited than an S-corp. So just making that shift substantially lowers your tax liability. But if you're making $500,000 a year, and I change the way you're doing your taxes, and it shifts your income to 250 using legal strategies, you actually are lower on the radar screen. The $500,000 income is higher on the radar screen. So using the tax code actually lowers your tax risk of being audited. And if you get audited, we're there. I mean, we'll help you implement the strategies. We follow the laws. Everything we do, we even give you the Internal Revenue Code where the strategy exists. So if you are inclined to read that part of the Internal Revenue Code, you can. Yeah. So it doesn't increase. There's this weird belief. And what's ironic is that the audit risk is actually gone down substantially just because there's far less auditors. Most audits that are being done by the IRS right now are letters, and they're all the presumption of guilt.
Yeah.
The exact opposite of the legal system. They basically send you a letter saying you owe us $10,000, and you have to prove to us that you don't.
Yeah, it comes in
so,
the form
and those
of
are going to happen if you do nothing. So you might as well take the full advantage of the law, hire a company like ours, and we'll fight for you, because we don't want you to pay the money any more than you want to pay it.
Now, when you do tax planning for an organization, that doesn't necessarily mean you become their tax accountant or their CPA. I mean, you work in conjunction in a lot of cases. Is that right?
Yeah. So the reason we called it the tax blueprint is because we wanted to be able to convey the message that really we're an architect. You know, if you have a blueprint for a house, you don't have a house. You still have to have someone build the house.
Right.
Just so happens we do home building too, so we can build the plan. But if you take the blueprint, you can take it to any accountant. But I'll tell you what happens, and this is a secret just between you and me. What happens is when you save someone $20,000 in taxes, if your accountant's your brother-in-law, you're thinking, gosh, I've been with this guy for 10 years, $20,000, that's $200,000. Well, I could have bought a lake house.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law is so fired. So that tends to be the result. But we'll help you if you want to help. If you don't want help, you can take it to your tax accountant. We've actually found some really good tax accountants that we've trained where they said, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
I'll do all of this. And we work with them, and sometimes we end up getting fans because they don't want to do the tax planning, but they know that we're actually – what's interesting about our tax plans, it actually creates more work because if you're doing more paperwork – and the small business owner is not going to want to do it. So if you're doing more paperwork, the bookkeeper and accountant actually ends up getting more work.
So where can people find, obviously, financialgravity.com, but where can they find about the blueprint?
So what I would actually recommend is we actually have a pretty simple video series.
Mm-hmm.
It's lowertaxhigherprofit.com. If you go to financialgravity.com, you'll get the pop-up that you so eloquently teach.
Yes.
But if you want to go to lowertaxhigherprofit.com, there's a 3 video series. There's a free download with the 4 strategies that we mentioned. And then at the end of the series, if you like it, you can give us a call or fire off a letter or an email. And if you don't, then at least you didn't have to talk to us and you got to lurk in the background.
Yeah, no, it's a great, great learning experience no matter what. I mean, you'll find some great, good information there whether you choose to act on it or not.
Yeah.
Talking with John Pollock at Financial Gravity, we're talking about ways to lower your taxes if you're a small business owner. So, John, thanks for spending a little time with us today, and I know we will see you out there soon.
Thanks for having me.